Church has given me the opportunity this year to lead a group on Sunday morning called Going Deeper. And we do an interesting discussion group. And out of that, Jordan came around and said, would you be interested in going deeper on Let's Talk? So here I am. So I picked a passage that has been hugely meaningful for me, a passage of Scripture. And so we're in Ephesians 4. So you might get your Bible out and maybe something to take some notes on. You might wonder, what are the four rules of communication? Well, we're not a legalistic church, you know, so we don't have rules, but we have guidelines. Okay, so here are the four guidelines of communication. The first one is speak the truth in love. That one we will spend two sessions on. Initially, I thought I'd do one of these for each of the four sessions, but it's not working that way. So we'll go extensively on speak the truth in love. The second one is be angry and without sin. Be angry without sin. The third one is keep current. And the final one is so practical, it's called attack the problem, not the person. So this all comes out of Ephesians 4. So before I get into that and before I read the passage to you, let me give you a little bit of background information. So something that has meant a lot to me, and I'd like to talk briefly about what is a miracle. And you say, well, how does that relate? It's absolutely relevant to what I'm going to share with you. So a miracle is something really special that happens that natural laws can't explain. Science can't explain. I have a science background. Science can't explain it. And there's some excellent examples in the scripture of what miracles are. Probably the major one, the most well-known one, and the one that has everybody knows and thinks about, is the resurrection. So here's Christ in his humanity is tortured to death executed on the cross. We know this. One of the world's expert executioners, the Roman soldiers, were there to supervise it and observe it. And then they stabbed him in the heart with a spear just to make sure he was really dead. But then 3 days later, he gets up and goes around and walks around and communicates in some special ways that he couldn't in his humanity. What an amazing thing that is. No naturalistic explanation, no scientific explanation. So we might pull an example from, you know, even more modern life. So let's say someone is injured, they're in a car wreck, the car catches fire, they're badly burned. And that arm, that right arm that they use for everything is all burned and scarred and contracted and non-functional. And you might say, well, the doctor, he can operate on that and physical therapy can help him. And maybe in a number of months or even years, that person can begin to use some function in that arm again. It takes a long time. But Christ can look at it and say, stretch out your arm, and it's whole instantaneously. That's a miracle. Now, why is this relevant? Because I have a book in my lap here that has 66 books in it. Was written over 1,500 years by 40 different individuals. They didn't know each other. Some of them did, but most of them didn't know each other. They didn't live at the same time. They had no way of communicating. They didn't have email. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have all the stuff we have today. No way of communicating. And that 66 books tells the same story from the beginning all the way to the end, from Genesis 3 to the end of Revelation. It's the same story. There's no explanation for that. That's miraculous. That's special. There's no naturalistic explanation. And so this drives me in going deeper, and drives me here to know that it's special, it's different, it's unique in all the world and all of history as Christ is. And so the point I'm trying to make with this is that when we look at this and we read this, realize just as your salvation is individual and personal, just as he died for you, if you'd been the only person that ever lived, he would have died for you. this book is individual and personal. Was it written to mankind? Yes. Was it written to the Jewish nation? Yes. Is it written to all believers? Yes. But it's written to you. And when you begin to apply those things to yourself and say, this letter was written to me, what does it say to me? How can I figure out what it means for me? Then we find out that the Lord can use it to direct you in a special way. So let's look at Ephesians 4, and we'll start with verse 15, which is his statement that we should speak the truth in love. Non-optional, by the way. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We don't grow up with Christ kind of around here, there, and there, here and there, and involved here and there, but into. And then if you skip to 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk in, as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. There's a must in there. That's imperative, it's directive, it's non-optional for believers, although some of us don't pay attention to that, and I didn't for many years. I would read the Word and read the Scripture because somebody, when I was saved at age 13, told me I should, but it didn't always mean much to me. Often I fell asleep in the middle of it because I did it at the end of the day. Testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Well, now let's, if we look at Gentiles, we could substitute in there non-Christians in our culture and in our time. And they walk in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. How did you all learn Christ? That is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and it's corrupt and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So there, and then we run into a therefore at verse 25, a conclusion. Having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. So now we have speak the truth in love in 15, and then we have speak the truth with your neighbor, and then we're going to find in one of the subsequent sessions that this whole concept of speaking the truth comes up again. And when the Holy Spirit presents something repeatedly, three times here, we better be listening. Speak the truth in love. So, the world is attractive to us. Do we imitate them? Do we look like them? Do we dress like them? Do we act like them? Do we desire their acceptance? Or do we try to influence them and therefore be different? You are different if you're in Christ. Jesus is unique. How did he walk? He personified love. He was love. No one ever spoke like him. The things he said were unique and different. And even in his own culture, they said, where did this guy come from? That's the kind of influence that you ought to have on your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones, the people that don't like you. What is truth? Pilate asked Christ this at his trial and said, what is truth? And Christ was silent. He didn't answer. The reason was truth was standing right there. That's who he was. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So through him, we think differently. We have different motives, different sense of purpose, different trust in other, tolerance of others. And when we speak, we should speak the truth in love. That's the first rule. So let's pray at the end of our time this morning. So, Father, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for directing us, guiding us, giving us the information that we need to be your kind of servant in this world. And help us, Father, to show the love that you demonstrate through your Son to those that are around us. For we love you in Jesus' name.